From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
There's always a weed out there, no matter when. That's what today's guest, Education Manager Duncan Himmelman of Mount Cuba Native Plant Center in Delaware, said the other day to me on the phone. And that means now, even as we approach the quiet season. Weeds are lurking, and we need to know when and how to target our efforts to control them, which is Duncan's and my topic today. But first, these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com.
Duncan Himmelman, now the education manager at Mount Cuba Center, a renowned native plant garden and research site, earned his doctorate in ornamental horticulture at Cornell before teaching college for 24 years. He's also managed a large private estate and designed gardens for private clients, so he knows from weeds and weeding. Hi, Duncan. How are you?
Hey, Margaret. I'm fine. How are you today?
Have seen any weeds yet this morning?
Well, no. I'm averting my eyes. No.
Okay,
no. Good. They are good, everywhere, good. As you know.
So we should say to everybody that what got me alerted to your weed course... what got me alerted to the fact that you were into weeds and teaching a course on weeds, actually, which is one of the recorded courses at Mount Cuba that people can buy on demand, was that I got a press release about this whole series of virtual classes. And it's a great resource. You guys have great in-person events when the world allows and so forth as well. But I wondered if you could just sort of tell us about this offering of virtual classes on demand.
Yeah, as you know, when COVID struck, we hadn't done any online education, and so we had to quickly pivot to transition our classes that were going to be live and in person to online. And as a result of that, we record each class, and the recordings have been filed, and some of them have been kept for resale, as you mentioned, as recordings, and our classes on demand option. And there are six of them. One is on soils. One is on the best native plants for containers. There's one on monarch butterflies, a butterfly garden, and ground covers and weeds.
Yes, it was great because you guys, I mean, I always love talking to anyone on the staff there, and I learned so much. So I was so excited to see and to be able to share. And what I was thinking is that as part of the, with the transcript of this show, I thought maybe I'm going to buy a couple of tickets for some winners who come and comment on the blog, on the transcript, and, you know, make sure some people get a free ticket to some classes. So I'm going to do that. As I started at, you know, getting down to business, because we got to do some weeding, Duncan.
yeah.
As I said at the start, quoting you, there's always a weed out there, no matter when. So what's a weed? Let's just quickly start there before we get to tactics.
Yeah, generally it's defined as something that is growing in a place where it's not wanted, that technically it's out of place.
Right.
And in that sense, it could be anything from common dandelions, as we all well know, up to even a small shrub that is planted in the wrong location on your property. Not that people would consider that a weed in the sense that we typically do, but yeah, it's essentially a place that is growing where it really isn't wanted.
Right. So, and the problem with these is that they compete against the wanted plants, right?
Yeah, I mean, all plants are taking up water and nutrients in the soil, and they can be limiting. So weeds are taking those same water and nutrients for themselves at the expense of the plants you really want in your garden. So, yeah, competing for resources is one of the ways that weeds are successful.
Yeah. So just to be clear, I mean, Mount Cuba is this famous and wonderful native plant center, a place of education, a place of research, etc. Not all weeds are aliens, i.e. non-native. There are native weeds, quote unquote, you know, and there are sometimes native plants that are in the wrong place or a little too ambitious. So it's not a, that's an alien and that makes it a weed, right? I mean, we have like clear weed, Pilea pumila, I think it's called, you know, jewel weed, poke weed, they even have weed in their common names, some traditional native plants that have great wildlife value too, but maybe the gardener sees them as a weed in certain spots.
Yeah, the way our gardeners manage the landscape is to edit out plants that are going to be, as you said, too rambunctious or too aggressive. So we do have pokeweed on the property, and, you know, it can be very, it can seed in fairly prolifically, and it is a perennial, and it's difficult to get rid of, but they do leave the odd one here and there because it is native, and they do provide ecological services that are pretty important. So, yeah, not all weeds in the sense that you would define them are alien.
Yeah. I don't know if you are a field guide nerd like I am, but I am. I have a whole cabinet full of field guides, and a number of them are about weeds. And I love knowing the names of my weeds. I love being able to ID my weeds. Do you, in the class on weeds, do you encourage people to get to know them by their proper names?
Yes. I mean, I come from, you know, a long line of many years of teaching, and it's always best to teach the scientific name of the plant because that is the bona fide name that, you know, follows that plant, oh, from country to country, from state to state, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'm always very prone to using the scientific name when I talk about weeds and other plants in general. So I will sometimes stumble over the common names because I'm not as, you know, used to using them. But we give both of them to our students, and we emphasize the fact that if they can actually learn the scientific name of these plants, then they can do their research online in a more effective manner.
And now with the transcript, I'm going to give some links, some of which you shared with me and some that I use myself, to some online weed ID resources from various universities around the country and so forth that people may find useful for learning some basic ID and also to some guidebooks and so forth. So that gets me thinking, speaking of the proper name of chickweed, Stellaria media is how I say it. I don't know if that's right, but I was outside this week in my garden, and at the edge of one large bed, there were lots of little chickweed plants. Now, what the heck is it doing as winter approaches, seeming to start to grow?
Yeah, I know. You're thinking the weed season is over, it's heading into winter, and we don't have to worry about weeds anymore. But as you know, weeds don't take any time off. With Stellaria, chickweed, what you're seeing is little rosettes or little seedlings coming up at this time of year. And the reason they're coming up is because it's cool and moist. And these are the ideal kinds of germinating conditions for what we call winter annuals. And that kind of gets back to your earlier comment about why are they coming up at this time of year? We're heading into winter. So they will germinate now. And there's a number of these winter annuals that will show their heads at this moment. And they will remain green in this vegetative state throughout this part of the season, go dormant, and then in early spring, when winter is just subsiding, they'll start to flower. So these winter annuals, like chickweed, will bloom early in the spring, and I think people have seen that wow, here's this plant, you know, it's very early, it's like April, what's going on? It's already flowering, but it's been sitting there dormant in the leafy stage over the winter. So, yeah, that's what's going on. There's a whole bunch of these things called winter annuals.
Yeah, so it seems to me that it's going to be a lot easier to reckon with those little guys than who they're going to become by April or later. Yes? So, I mean, this gives us some tactical hints, knowing the life cycle, knowing that it's a winter annual, right? And that it's...
Yeah.
Is that a strategy then that I should be dealing with this now, not waiting till it gets worse? I mean, that seems obvious, but in some cases it's not quite as obvious.
Yeah. Since it's an annual, most of the annual weeds that people will encounter should be eradicated, removed when they first see them coming up as seedlings or young plants. And it's no different right now with the winter annuals. You see them coming up, and if you recognize them as chickweed, for example, then you should really get rid of them now before they go into the flowering phase. So, yeah, some of the kinds of weed control methods that we always encourage here at Mount Cuba Center is to go in and just grub them out, you know, using physical labor and get them early on. They're annuals. If you pull them out of the ground and, you know, expose the roots, they'll dry up and die. So, yeah, your gut feeling is, okay, yeah, I see these little plants. It's time to get out there and start weeding them out so you can hoe them out or whatever you wish to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, at the edge of another bed, my nemesis is one of my many nemesis is, and it's not really a horrible weed, but it's irritating because it loves to crawl in from the edges of the lawn into beds, into ornamental beds. And it's Glaucoma heteracea. It's another one that right now it's like it's advanced again. You know, it seems to have enjoyed some recent rains and who knows what this fall.
Yeah. Glaucoma heteracea is ground ivy. They can call it Creeping Charlie. They can call it gill on the ground or gill over the ground as well. And it's a perennial. It was probably, it's actually a perennial weed that you should really try to eradicate every time you actually see it, try to pull it out and remove it. It has a fairly dense root system, and it's the kind of plant that if you can remove it physically, manually, the more you can remove it, the more successful you'll be at preventing it from spreading, because it does spread over the ground, hence its common name, and it will persist. So, yeah, it has taken a little bit of time off. You know, it's gone a little bit dormant in the dry part of the season, and now it's coming back. So I would definitely recommend you try to get rid of that as a perennial and try to get the root system out. That's the problem with perennials, of course, is that their root systems hold on to a lot of stored food and keep these plants going.
Yeah, and this is one where it seems to, like, touch down in multiple places. You know, each long, it's like little runners, and they seem to have rooted in multiple places, you know, almost vine-like on above the ground. It's like you have to, it's great when the soil is moist. It's very satisfying for a crazy person like me, you know, to kind of pull it out gently, slowly, so that you get along the whole long, extent of it, so to speak. Right. Yeah. So that's another one I'm going to be tackling, even though, again, like we have snow forecast late this week, but so what? Like, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do another pass on that one. And then you say that's a perennial, so that makes sense. And then there's garlic mustard.
Oh God, yes, garlic mustard. Oh yes, there's. Well, you know, the good news is you can turn it into pesto at some point, but you know, you don't want to have that much garlic mustard on your property, do you?
No, and isn't that a biennial? We mentioned a winter annual. We mentioned a perennial. Is that a biennial? I think is it.
Yeah, it is. It's a biennial, and what you're probably seeing now is what they call rosettes, or small clumps of the plant that are now coming up. They've germinated, and they're growing, and they're probably 3 to 4 inches tall, and they're just a series of leaves, and they have that characteristic kind of, kind of pungent odor to the foliage.
Yes.
If you crush it. But yeah, you can get out there and get rid of the plant right now, because it's going to go, again, it is going to go to flower and seed very early in the season, come spring. So the more you can get rid of garlic mustard, it's a biennial. So at this point, when you pull it out, it'll seem like an annual because the root system is just this year. So pulling it out now is probably, you know, well advised, because A, you're probably not going to get all of them, you know, you're going to get 90% of them, and you may be able to catch the remaining few in the spring. But yeah, get them out now because, man, they're up and flowering and seeding pretty early.
And this one has a lot of weedy tactics. Like, it's successful because it's a prolific self-sower, because it is allelopathic, I think. I think it exudes a chemical in the surrounding soil area that prevents other plants from getting acclimated, getting started. And it's a tricky one. So really, to get it out as soon as you see it is important, I think, before it does.
Yeah, and you know, not only that, but it's very tolerant of shade and sun. And so you're going to see it all over the place. You know, you think, oh, well, it's shady over there, and it won't invade. But no, it does. It takes the shade. The thing about it is that, of course, it's germinating and growing foliage at this time of year, and then in the spring when there aren't a lot of leaves on the trees above, they will continue to grow and then quickly go to flower. So it's a pretty smart weed.
It is very, but it's not smart weed, which is a common name of something else altogether.
I know. All right, yes, smart weed. Although many weeds are smart, there is smart weed. Is that polygonum, I think?
Anyway. Yeah.
I know, and there's many polygonums as well. So good God.
Yes. Yes. So let's. So we've just talked a little bit about, you know, knowing not only knowing its proper Latin name, IDing it, using some of the tools we'll give some links to, or having the right book for your region, field guide for your region. IDing it, getting to know it by its proper name, doing a little homework. Is it an annual? Is it a winter annual? Is it a biennial? Is it a perennial? Like, can get you some of the strategy brewing on how to deal with it. So let's talk about control measures once we know that. So you were saying, Margaret should get out there and grub out those chickweed seedlings, and she should be pulling some of the perennials and biennials, like the ones we've just talked about, the glaucoma and the garlic mustard. So what are some of the other tactics of weed removal that you teach?
Yeah. Well, generally, when we talk about weed control, Mount Cuba Center tends not to rely on a lot of chemical measures. And so in class, we recommend that people really try to exclude weeds from getting into their yard to begin with. And one of the ways that they can do that is that when they go to the garden centers or nurseries, they can look at the pots and containers that the plants are in, and if any of them have weeds in them, then they shouldn't choose those plants, and they should be working with nurseries that are fairly diligent about keeping weeds out of their containers. So we try to exclude weeds, but as you know, weeds, dandelion seeds are blowing in, weeds are just coming in general from surrounding properties. Another method that we recommend is to keep your tools as clean as possible. I know it sounds, you know, mundane, but, you know, I, like you, I'm out there, I'm weeding, I'm using my gardening tools, and then I think, oh, well, I'll just put them down and, you know, pick up where I left off tomorrow. But the more you keep them clean, the better you are going to be able to keep weeds from coming into your, from spreading weeds around, per se. Does that make sense?
So from seed that's on it, or little bits of plant, or
it can be both.
Seeds in the soil that's
if you're left digging up, yeah, if you're digging up some mugwort, for example, and pulling it out and collecting mugwort, then, you know, the shovel you use may have little pieces of mugwort roots on it, and you're just moving the spade to another part of your garden, and you're going to make a new bed. And suddenly, you know, a year or two later, you see mugwort cropping up in your new bed when you think, where did that come from? So, yeah, it can be seeds, and it can be little pieces of plants as well.
Right, which is also true when you want to transplant a desirable plant from one bed to another bed. If that bed has, the first bed has some infestation of something, you are running the risk of, if you don't wash off that division that you're making of that, you know, it might be a hosta, for goodness sake, which is not a weed. But if you don't wash it off, if there's an adjacent weed in that bed, you may be bringing it along to the new bed where you put that division, yeah?
Yeah, it's so interesting you mentioned that, because I've done exactly that, where I'm digging up a plant and I know that plant X, the weed, is in amongst those roots because the weed tends to spread around. And I will sit there and I will discern what is the weed and what is the root of the desired plant. And I will tease it all apart. Even if I lose all the soil around the plant I'm transplanting, a herbaceous perennial, for example, I will try to be as meticulous as possible at getting all of that little weed root out of there. And so it sort of means, you know, you have to know what the weed root looks like and the root of the desirable plant. So it's not just the leaves and the flowers or the weed. You have to know something about the roots. But yeah, you have to be very diligent. Good point.
Yeah. So those are some preventive things. Grubbing out is one removal area. What about, like, can I exhaust some of these plants, like with repeated, some of the ones that are more tenacious? Like, if I can't get them out completely, what are some other tactics?
Yeah, I mean, preventing our weeds from going to seed, as we mentioned earlier, getting the little seedlings out right off the bat. But with perennial weeds, and you can think of things like plantain or dandelions or what else can I think of?
Thistles. Maybe even those thistle. Damn thistles. Yeah. All those thistles. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, I know. And thistles have roots from here to eternity, but we'll try to put that on hold for the moment. With things like perennial weeds of that nature, then you really just have to get at getting the foliage out as often as possible. Remove the foliage as often as possible. Mow it down. Pull off the leaves. Try to dig it out and remove it. The more you can remove the foliage, the weaker the plant will become, meaning that the leaves are the source of are the site of photosynthesis, and that's the source of the plant's food. And without plant food, then the roots are not going to continue to grow. So if you remove the leaves, remove the source of food for the plant itself, then you will ultimately weaken it. And if you have to be very diligent about this,
yes.
Because you know, those leaves are going to come popping back, as you well know. But if you really do keep at it, within 3 or so years, you can probably, you know, really, really keep that weed down. So
right. So no photosynthesis is eventually no plant, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Preventing photosynthesis, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And sort of speaking of that as well, we do talk about mulching. And mulching's
I was going to say, do you mulch? Yeah.
We do mulch here with leaf mulch, and in one of our gardens, we're mixing up some of our homemade woody plant sourced mulch with the leaf mold. So it's kind of a half and half. It's very finely shredded woody material, and the leaves that have been shredded as well. So it's not like a coarse mulch like you would see at the garden centers for sale. So it kind of sort of is a transitionary sort of between a composty kind of thing. And anyway, but yeah, we do mulch. And I think the critical thing about mulching your garden is to use something that's organic, obviously, and to layer it up to 2 to 3 inches. I remember years ago there was research done on what's the depth of mulch that you should use.
Right.
And generally they came up with 3 inches of depth because that would prevent weed seeds from germinating, et cetera. Some
okay.
people say 2 inches. I'm inclined to say 3 inches because then, you know, you can leave it there. It won't. As it decomposes, you have to obviously, you know, renew it. So if I layer on around 3 inches of mulch around my garden plants, then I don't have to constantly reapply mulch. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So we have maybe 2-3 minutes left, and I want to quickly just shout out that I get a little nervous, and I shared this with you on the phone the other day. You know, I see the big bottles of acetic acid, so-called horticultural vinegar, in the stores, in the garden centers, and I shudder thinking of everybody spraying them without the right proper protection. Do you ever use those, the acetic acid, the horticultural vinegar at all, and what's it for if it is going to be used?
We aren't using the horticultural vinegar, no.
Good, okay.
We have had some degree of success using some other products here at the garden. Organic chemicals basically work in the same sense as you would apply to removing the top foliage. So in a perennial situation, you want to remove the leaves. Even with an annual, if you remove the leaves, you're going to really remove the plant. So some of the products that we're using here are basically made from pelargonic acid mixed with fatty acids or citric acid and clove oil. Another product that we've used is one that has active chelated iron. And they basically act as foliage burns. They burn the foliage. And
right.
In that sense, they're probably most effective on young plants. So we have
right.
used some here on the grounds. I can distinctly smell the clove oil on occasion. But these products are not selective. And when you said you cringed earlier with the horticultural vinegar, even with these products, you know, you have to be very, very specific in targeting the plant you want because anything green that they're sprayed on will be damaged. So, you know, I think that the best approach may be to try to do manual removal. Try to plant your garden beds as densely as possible with the plants you want. I mean, weeds are very
right,
smart. They get into areas
right.
that are open and available. So, You know, we do recommend that you make your garden beds fairly dense with the plants that you want. We use native plants, obviously. And we try not to use the organic compounds. But as I said, they're very effective on young plants, but they're not selective. So anything you spray
right.
them
and
on.
And always read the label and use the protection, eye gear, et cetera, that it says to use.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, don't think twice as much is better because the companies that have developed these know that this is the concentration you want to use, you know.
Well, Duncan, I hope you'll come back and talk about one of your other classes, the native ground covers, because I know that would be a giant hit. And like I said, I'll give links to all of the weed resources and the classes that you're offering on demand now from Mount Cuba. And I thank you so much for making time today.
Yeah, well, thank you, Margaret. It's been a pleasure talking weeds with you. And yeah, ground covers is another big favorite of mine. And so I look forward to hearing from you again and wish everybody the best in their winter weed control.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full-gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and Instagram as @AwayToGarden. And happy weeding meantime.
Away to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.